It just so happened that, not a dig, but it just so happened that I have to preach in front of the pastor. Everybody else didn't get that opportunity. So, you know, it's nerve-wracking, but I thank the Lord for the opportunity. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 through 19. But before I go on, let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I boldly come before thy throne of grace, Lord, just thanking and praising you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. I ask, Father God, that you'd use my gift, Lord, that I may be a blessing to these, your people. And Lord, I'll be sure to thank you and praise you for it as well. For I ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen. All right. By way of introduction, I'm going to be coming from 1 Peter 4. And the author was Peter, but I call him Pastor Peter. That's what our pastor showed us, that his name is Pastor Peter. To whom was Peter writing? To those who were elect, chosen, the scattered diaspora, who were scattered among the nations from their homeland. And what was the purpose of Peter's writing? First of all, the title of the message is, as we face challenges as believers in life, we can have assurance that we can stand firm under those challenges and those persecutions as well. Peter begins to address the issue of this persecution, of what that fiery trial that the diaspora will have to suffer. They were to stand up under the fiery trials of persecution. And in doing so, verse 12 starts here. Here's verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice," in verse 13, "inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And all the way down to 19. "And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it is first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him and well doing as unto a faithful Creator." So, and by way of scripture, I'm going to try to expound on these verses. And let us go back to verse 12. In verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you." So Peter is saying, you'll see me see sometimes Paul, because I got to get this right. But Peter is now saying that don't be startled when you see these things come about. Don't get rattled because concerning the fiery trials. Why? Because they are which is to try you. as what? As though some strange thing happened unto you. So these fiery trials are here to help us and help us to get closer to the Lord and get us focused. So, and the points that I have here is point one, the believer needs to be surprised, needs not to be surprised when suffering persecution. Why? Because persecution should draw us to God, right? So why does God allow the believer to suffer persecution? Okay? Persecution measures how strong our faith is, and it proves our trust in God, and it also teaches us to depend on Him more and more. And it strengthens our patience. So if you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I write things in so you won't see me turn, so I write them on my paper. It's easier for me that way. I'll wait till you get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, in all things, in all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So just understand that. All of us that live in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer persecution. We suffer persecution on our jobs. Suffer persecution from our family members. We suffer persecution sometimes right in our own assembly. But pray to God it's not this one. Because God is grateful. He's merciful. And so in verse 13 also, it says, but rejoice. Why already rejoice? Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad in exceeding joy. So we are to be calmly happy, as we face these trials, when the manifestation of God, of his glory, shall be revealed. It's because God has a plan for us, and that plan is a tremendous blessing that we have. Look at Peter, 1 Peter 1:7. Go back to where we were. I'm going to co-reference that verse. Peter is saying, I'll wait till you guys get there because I write things down. Peter says here in 1 Peter 1:7, that trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we're tried in the fire, we ought to be proud, praising God and honoring him at the glory and appearing of those trials that come in our lives. Because if we don't put our faith and trust in God in those trials, man, it could destroy us. And I know each and every day, there's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me coming from the place where I came from, because you just have so much of those beggarly elements that are waiting for me out there each and every day that I go out there into that world. For point two, the believer needs to rejoice in the persecution. So what does that mean? This is difficult to do. No person likes to suffer pain. Not me. No one likes to suffer pain of any sort, especially when it is inflicted by neighbors, friends, and families, as I stated before. Our families can be our greatest critics. You know, I go back around my family. They look at me, but they don't speak to me. They talk to me, but you can see the heart is not connected. So that's why I thank the Lord for you all, folks. You all is a tremendous blessing to me. Thank God for my pastor and all that. He's a tremendous blessing to all of us. And that's a challenge for each and every one of us. When we get saved, it's almost like knowingly out of my family, I'm the first one to get saved. And when I come around, my nephew said something to me that was puzzling one day. He said to me, and they call me Bug. So he said, Uncle Bug, he said, listen, you thought that you guys were better, your kids were better than me. I don't know where that came from. I never stated that. But he said this, but we got one of them. So I was explaining to my kids, stay away from them. Because their feet walk into evil. And they can be, you can be drawn into hell. Because like I said, my mom protected me from everything else, but she never protected me from my family. That was my greatest downfall, was my family. And so, when we suffer, we are sharing in Christ's sufferings. Christ was rejected by men because he lived and proclaimed the righteousness and salvation of God. So when we suffer, we shall greatly be rewarded when Christ returns. Turn over to 1 Peter. Also, look at 1 Peter 1:4 since we're still here. Christ has given us inheritance. Inheritance to what? So, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and the heat, and that fadeth not away. Let's go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope. So we have a lively hope in Christ. Okay? And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what? To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and what is reserved in heaven for us. So that's the tremendous blessing that we have. And so think about the apostles, and turn over to Acts 5:41. Think about the apostles in Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the shame of Christ. So these apostles were beaten, and they counted that joy for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we're going through tough times, think about these apostles. They had a bad man. You know, they were being stoned. They were being beaten. But they withstood that. All. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here the apostles were jailed, beaten, then they were freed. So how about that? I'm going to beat you, then I'm going to free you. Man, that's a double hurt. But they walked on for the Lord Jesus Christ because it was because of the Lord why they were being beaten. So in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and the God of and of God resteth upon you, and there on their part it is evil, but on your part it is glorified. That means it's magnified. Point three, the believer needs to know that God's Spirit, the strong, bright light of God's glory, rests upon us. The words repent, reproach for Christ means suffering for righteousness, being persecuted, abased, or ridiculed for Christ. When believers suffer for Christ, the Spirit of glory and of God, what? It rests upon us. Just as it did Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 7. Turn there with you all because I didn't write down all that. Trying to fit stuff into tight spaces, so. Acts 7, verse 54 to 60. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's a tremendous blessing, man, to hear the scriptures repeated that way. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And what did they do? They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling. And when they stoned Stephen, look at what Stephen was doing. He was calling upon the Lord. What a tremendous testimony. Who would, under those pretenses, be calling out for the Lord? You'd be running. Stephen didn't have that opportunity to run. They were stoning him right there at that spot. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen once again, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So, when you see that testimony, what a great testimony there. And so we'll continue on from that point. Let me get back to where I was. Okay. The believer is giving a very special closeness, a oneness with Christ that is beyond imagined and unexplainable. You can go to Christ. I can go to Christ. We all can go to Christ at one time, and he hears us all at the same time. That's the oneness we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, man, I don't know what else to do without him. I don't know where I would be. You know, being in that, out there in that world, I always call myself a tough guy. But you know what? The Spirit of God changed all that. I'd rather help somebody up and be a blessing than to be that guy I used to be. Amen. That wasn't fair. That wasn't nice. So in 1 Peter 2:20, for what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But when ye do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, as this is acceptable with God. So when we're hurt, we're to take those things patiently, because this is acceptable by God. Because like I said, you're going to have folks come after you. You're going to turn the other cheek. I know, folks, you could defend yourself. It's okay to defend yourself. But in defending yourself, run away. No one wants violence. Violence isn't for anybody. Point four, the believer needs to bring suffering and persecution, needs not to bring suffering and persecution upon yourself by breaking some law or doing some evil thing. Therefore, the believer is not to bring suffering upon ourselves. If we are to suffer or to be persecuted, it is because we are living for Christ, not because we are a lawbreaker. 1 Timothy 1. 9:1-10. You could turn there. And Timothy says, and I'll wait till you get there. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, and for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, that's why they're destroyed. And so verse 16. Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Point five. The believer needs to be ashamed. The believer needs not be ashamed to suffer for being a Christian. You know, when you tell people you're a Christian, they look at you differently. I give you a testimony. And I was cut to my heart by that, because I knew where the Lord brought me from. So we were given a meeting on Friday. They said, we want all the behavioral managers to meet in my office. And so when we got there, they started handing out gifts. But in those gifts, they handed out liquor bottles. That hurt me. Because I'm not that guy. And you could see these guys reaching out for that thing as soon as I didn't even touch it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But I took the envelope that was in there because I wanted to show them that I'm not special. But I took the envelope, and one of the guys said to me, hey, say, man, listen, I'll take that, and you can have my envelope. Not a problem. But if we suffer, we are not to look as if we are suffering. But I thank God for the testimony that I was that day for him. Amen. No one else in that room knew I was a Christian. Amen. But the Lord did. So if we are suffering, we're to endure the suffering with gladness. Through that, the Lord is refining us. The point is this. Christians need to take a stand for Christ. A stand firm on our faith. And turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Sorry, people. Thank you, brother. Sorry about that gift. The point is this. Look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what I was thinking that day. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Ungodly judgment will come for the unbeliever. Point 6. The believer needs to accept persecution as purifying judgment, as a purifying, a refinement judgment of God. The judgment Peter refers to is the purpose for purifying our faith. Look at 1 Peter 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, my daughter said to me, she said, Daddy, you're going to be all right when I came here. My daughter is the biggest supporter of her dad, my baby. She said, Daddy, you go ahead. The Lord has laid these things on your heart. And so what a tremendous blessing she is. She doesn't come here. You keep praying for sanctuary. She tells me things about the gospel and that she's heard other places. She said, Daddy, that's not right because I heard they don't, that's bad preaching because they don't preach right. She's been here before. She understands what it means to understand the truth of God's word. So she said, Daddy, that's bad preaching. So for the believer needs to accept persecution as purifying. The judgment Peter refers to is for the purpose of purifying our faith. And so wherein we talked about that. So let's move on to verse 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Difficulty. And so when we face difficulty, where shall the ungodly be fed? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? God has a plan for those unsaved individuals. they'll face judgment at some point in time in this life. And so in the judgments that they face, I thank God I don't have to face those judgments. I thank God the day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, man, I turned from my sin, turned to Christ, repented, and now I stand before Him grateful for what He's done for me. Because no one ever did for me. Try to take that heroin addiction away in one day. Nobody can do that. Man, I spent 27 years of that raggedy life. Tell somebody God took that heroin addiction away in one day, man. They'll look at you like you lost your mind. Verse 19. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to keeping their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator, who is what? The author in all things of all things in our lives. Point 7. The believer needs to keep on doing good and commit ourselves to God. And that's what God expects for us, to continue to keep on doing His will. Because God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. We need to continue. We need to strongly and earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Because these apostates are out there, man. The word commit, to deposit, means to deposit, to entrust in the hands of a trusted banker or friend. God can be trusted, can He? He can be trusted. He will not fail the believer. He will either deliver the believer through suffering or else bring the believer home to be with Him. God never fails. God is a faithful Creator. He's trustworthy. Paul said, look at 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul said, and I'll just go ahead and say it. For which also suffer the things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He hath committed unto Him against that day. So, by way of conclusion, suffering is essential for the believer. What does it do? It draws us closer in oneness to God.